The Word of God does what it says. Language is not a barrier to God's Word. Culture is not a barrier to God's Word.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, speaking at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Am I saying that we shouldn't pay attention to these things? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we should stop believing that those things are what matter. What matters is the content of Holy Scripture. The New Testament and what it has to do with us is not a problem of our linguistics today. It's a problem of our faith that the Word of God is actually there to be believed.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation and teachings by Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Chris Roseborough, Will Wheaton, and Al Schmidt on an audio DVD from the 2014 Making the Case Conference. For a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We talk a lot about the prophets in the Old Testament. There are also false prophets back there. Most of them are anonymous. Jeremiah seems to have a real problem with these false prophets. False shepherds, they are the kind of false prophets that Jesus in the New Testament would refer to as hirelings, hired men who care not for the sheep, or the thief who only comes to kill and destroy. So you have your true prophets, you have your false prophets. How do you tell the difference between the two? And what do you do, like in Jeremiah 28, you find one who's got a name, Hananiah? We're going to be talking about Hananiah in Jeremiah 28 as part of our Christ in the Old Testament series. Pastor Brian Ketchermeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
You want to start today with the name of Jeremiah himself. Why is that?
Well, the name of Jeremiah, it means exalted one of Yahweh. And so in this, what's significant is Jeremiah, he comes to the people of God to speak the word of God to God's own people, but yet they won't listen. He's the suffering prophet. He's the weeping prophet. But yet, even though it looks like in the eyes of the people that he's not well received, he's rejected, he's beaten, he's put in prison, but yet in Yahweh's eyes, he's exalted. And so in this, we see Christ. We see Christ who is sent by the Father, and he will be rejected. He will suffer. He will be crucified. But yet he is exalted by the Father to prove that he is the Christ, the one that the Father has sent to save mankind. So in this sending of prophets, we always see this pointing towards the incarnation. But in particular, when we see the sending of the prophets who are not received, who are rejected, who suffer, but yet Yahweh exalts them, we see Christ.
Okay. So we have in the name of Jeremiah the true prophet, the sign that, of Christ in his very ministry, right there. His ministry looks like Christ's. How do we come to know this Hananiah, the false prophet, in Jeremiah 28? They have an encounter in the temple of God.
Yeah, and so similar to last week when we were talking, you have when Jeremiah sent and he's to preach and to proclaim, and yet you have somebody, Pashur, who comes up who's a priest who wants to stop Jeremiah from speaking. Well, now with Hananiah, now we have a prophet, not a priest, but a prophet this time who comes up and he is going to contradict what Jeremiah says. So kind of like our episode before, in the previous chapter 19, what you saw is you saw Jeremiah, he goes to the potter's house, and he's supposed to buy this pot. He takes the pot, he smashes it on the ground and says, this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. And then that's when Pashur comes on the scene in chapter 20. Well, same kind of thing takes place here. In chapter 27, it was Jeremiah who has this yoke bar that Yahweh tells him to place upon his shoulders, and he goes around talking about this yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Pashur is going to be one of the false prophets who's going to confront him on this. And of course, the incident that we have here in 28, what takes place is Pashur is going to say that Jeremiah is the false prophet because Yahweh has broken the yoke. And then you have Jeremiah, who says, Yahweh is giving you this yoke, and this is a yoke you're to wear. So this is the confrontation that's taking place, and almost in a similar way, when you got that potter's vessel that's smashed, here what takes place is that Pashur is the priest who stops Jeremiah before by putting him in the stocks and imprisoning him, but now what's going to happen is Hananiah is going to come up, and he's going to break the yoke bar that's on Jeremiah's back and say, thus saith the Lord, this yoke of Nebuchadnezzar is broken. And so this is kind of the confrontation, very similar to what we saw with Pashur.
Okay, this concept of a yoke, you have kind of cataloged some places in Jeremiah. We've got the yoke of Egypt, the yoke of Yahweh, the yoke of Babylon, several places. Take us through some of those and go into a little more depth of how that relates to, I cannot help but think about Jesus talking about, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. Walk us through those and hopefully get us to that pronouncement of Christ.
Yeah, so this whole imagery of a yoke, this is a theme that we have throughout Scripture, that it's an image for ruling and reigning. So like you would put an oxen under a yoke, and the ox knows who the master is, and under the yoke, the ox is supposed to serve the master. Well, this is the idea of this yoke, is that you have a kingdom. You have a king who is ruling and reigning over you, and you are a subject of his kingdom. And so in Jeremiah, he'll use this imagery of a yoke, first of all, beginning in chapter 2, when he reminds the people of God, as that mouthpiece of God, that it was Yahweh who broke the yoke of Egypt. So back in chapter 2, through the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh says, long ago I broke your yoke and burst your bonds, and I freed you out of Egypt. But the problem that you face is that now the people of God will not serve Yahweh. You see, the image of a yoke, again, is the reigning and the ruling. And so when Egypt was reigning and ruling over Israel, they were in slavery, they were in bondage. But God comes and he releases them. He gives to them liberty. But then he brings them into his kingdom, his reign, and so he gives them his yoke. And so in that yoke, God continues to rule through his word. It's a spiritual kingdom. But yet they don't want this yoke, and they don't want to serve. So this is why Jeremiah is being sent. And so right away in chapter 2, you have, I broke the yoke of Egypt, but yet you don't want to serve me, says Yahweh. And then you have in chapter 5, again, this whole concept of Yahweh's yoke in chapter 5, where it says, these are only the poor, they had no sense, for they do not know the way of Yahweh, the justice of their God. I will go to the great and speak with them, for they know the way of Yahweh, the justice of their God, but they all alike had broken the yoke, they had burst the bonds. So again, in chapter 2, when Yahweh reminds, I redeemed you, I delivered you from the yoke of Egypt, but yet now you are delivering yourselves from the yoke of Yahweh, because you refuse to hear his word, you refuse to serve him, you refuse to live in his kingdom. And so that's this whole image of a yoke going into these chapters. And so you have in chapter 27, where Yahweh now says to Jeremiah, build this yoke bar and use it kind of as an object lesson, because the people of God don't want the yoke of Yahweh, fine. They'll have the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar.
So along with Jeremiah's constant message to them, this is a constant visual reminder to people. I mean, he just walks into the city square, and people are reminded of the judgment that he says is impending upon them.
Yeah, and so he's walking around. I mean, if you could imagine this, you know, here's the prophet Jeremiah walking around, and he has his yoke bar on him, and he's saying, thus says Yahweh, this is the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, and you are going to wear it, and you are going to serve under it, and do not rebel against it. Because if you rebel against it, you're going to rebel against Yahweh. And so this is chapter 27, where Yahweh specifically tells him to build this yoke, to wear it, and he sends them to the nations. You know, as we talked about last week, where Jeremiah says, hey, you've deceived me. I feel deceived. I was a prophet to the nations. Well, now here in chapter 27, he is sent to the nations with this yoke bar. saying that Nebuchadnezzar is going to put his yoke upon you, and all nations will serve him. And then he sent specifically to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and he says also to Zedekiah, the king of Jerusalem, he says, bring your neck under this yoke. It's the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people and live. And so this is a huge visual image. I mean, if you could even imagine this prophet going around with this yoke, telling everybody that the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar is going to be placed upon us, and it's okay, it's fine, because Yahweh's in control, and so trust in Yahweh that he knows what he's doing. But do not resist this yoke, because you'll end up facing the sword.
Okay, so that takes us into, if I'm not mistaken, into chapter 28, where we have Hananiah, this false prophet. And I think he's even, is he identified as a false prophet to begin with? It says, in the same year, beginning with the reign of Zedekiah of Judah, in the fifth month, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gideon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord. And his message, as you mentioned before, is, look, the yokes of Babylon is going to be broken. What is Jeremiah's response?
Well, first of all, Todd, an interesting thing about the prophet, when you look at the text, it says the prophet Hananiah, so it gives him that title. Now, the church father Jerome, when he's looking at this, he notes that he's looking at the Hebrew, and he's also looking at the Greek Septuagint, and he notices in the Greek Septuagint, they're not going to call Hananiah a prophet. Instead, they're going to call Hananiah a pseudo-prophet. And so Jerome goes into this detail about how when the Hebrew was translated into Greek, that these Greek rabbis wanted to make it clear that Hananiah is not a true prophet. He is a false prophet, so he's a pseudo-prophet. And so you have that very clear in the Septuagint. This is a pseudo-prophet. But yet here, as we read this in the English, as we're translating from the Hebrew, it says that Hananiah is a prophet. It says he's a prophet. And so he's there, and he's speaking the word of God. And I think for us, what is most profound about this is to understand that Jesus warned us to beware of false prophets. And these are these guys who were in an office to speak God's word, but instead of speaking God's word, they speak their own word. And so this is where we're always supposed to be on the lookout for this, because this happens in the church itself. Within the church, as Paul tells those elders from Ephesus, that among themselves wolves would rise up and they would scatter and they would try to devour the sheep. And so this is the key. This guy is a prophet. So he's known as a prophet. And so when he speaks, he says, just like Jeremiah, thus says Yahweh. And so now you have to listen to the prophet Hananiah and listen to the prophet Jeremiah, and you have to discern who is the true prophet.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Jeremiah 28. We've got the true prophet, Jeremiah, and the false prophet, Hananiah, face to face. One says one thing. The other has been for his entire prophetic career saying the other thing. Which one will prevail? Which one speaks for Yahweh? We'll be right back.
The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace. For Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're doing Christ in the Old Testament, our ongoing series. On this Friday afternoon, June the 27th, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, here's the encounter. It's in the temple, and Jeremiah is quick to note that it is before all the priests, basically the entire religious establishment. Here comes Hananiah. We presume that Jeremiah is still wearing the yoke that he's been commanded to wear. Hananiah, the false prophet, approaches. What exactly is his claimed message from the Lord?
Well, the message of Hananiah, again, he comes in with this prophetic utterance saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." And within 2 years, so now he gives to us a time period, within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of Yahweh's house. Now, this is important because just in the previous chapter, Jeremiah is talking about how these vessels will be taken out of Yahweh's house, that these vessels will be carried away. And he's totally refuting what Jeremiah says, but he's using this in the framework of, I am a prophet, this is my office, and thus says Yahweh. So he's claiming the exact opposite, where Jeremiah just previously said that there is a yoke, and this yoke you will wear, and you will gladly rejoice in the yoke that Yahweh has placed on you, because it's Yahweh who is handing you over to Nebuchadnezzar. And back in 27, it just the whole kicker, too, Jeremiah says, and by the way, do not listen to the false prophets who will say to you, you will not serve the king of Babylon and take his yoke. And so you have Jeremiah making that claim in 27. A false prophet is going to say, we don't need to worry about the yoke. And then here on the scene struts his stuff, Hananiah, in front of the priests and all the people, and says, oh, by the way, Yahweh says the yoke has been broken.
Now, this is really interesting because I know that the people who have been listening and witnessing Jeremiah, it's not like he's the most popular guy in the world, but he has been prophesying destruction. He's been prophesying judgment. Here comes this guy with good news. Is part of the appeal of his false prophecy, all false teaching, a false good news, a false gospel?
Yeah, you see a connection here that this is a false teacher. And the false teacher typically will teach a prosperity to the people. He will secure them in their sins. and he'll say, don't worry, be happy, everything's okay. You are God's people, once God's people, always God's people. Don't fear any of these harsh words about sin and judgment. And so it's this same message that we get here in our day within the church. You get these preachers who preach the message of prosperity and happiness, and they don't want to address sin. But the problem is, when you don't address sin, then you're also not going to address the Savior. And so one of the interesting characteristics here is that Hananiah will preach peace without the proclamation of the Prince of Peace. So he doesn't preach this peace in conjunction with the coming kingdom and the Messiah, the promised Son of David. Instead, he just comes up and says, hey, the yoke is broken, the game's over, everything's back to normal, and everybody just be happy. So that's something that's very unique that you do see in false prophets throughout the ages, constantly preaching prosperity to the people who are being ruled and dominated by sin, and they say, your sin isn't a problem, don't worry about it. God's happy with you, for God is a God of love. God is a God of peace. And so this is where Jeremiah kind of has a little bit of a field day with Hananiah and says, bravo, you know, amen. He says, that's a wonderful message that Yahweh is a God of love and that Yahweh brings peace and forgiveness and prosperity, everything. This is just wonderful. And so Jeremiah is just laying it on really thick. And he says, I hope that that's the case. Let's see if it is. You know, again, Hananiah said in 2 years it'll happen. Well, Jeremiah knows it's not going to happen, so he lays it on real thick and says, yeah, that's a great message. However, Hananiah, I want to remind you of something. All the prophets before us, what was the message they always preached? Did the true prophets preach prosperity and secure the sinners in their place away from Yahweh, who do not want to listen to him and live in his kingdom? Or have the true prophets of old exposed sin for the very sake of revealing the Savior? And so he'll say, you know what it is, Hananiah? It's just like what I've been preaching. Destruction, devastation, because the people of God will not listen to the Word of God. In fact, that's why the prophets came throughout the ages since the days of Moses. Whenever the Levitical priests stopped preaching Christ and his kingdom and took people away from the Word of God, then Yahweh would send a prophet. When the king would try to rebel and have his own physical kingdom, well, Yahweh would send a prophet. And so you constantly have this reoccurring theme with true prophets being sent for the purpose of exposing sin so that people can then hear the only message of salvation, to seek Yahweh and live. And so Jeremiah just has a field day with this, saying, Hananiah, remember, which one is it? The prophets of old, are they more like you or are they more like me?
And then he kind of lays out the ultimate test. This isn't actually anything new. It's the old Deuteronomy test that Moses gives to the people in, maybe Deuteronomy 13, if I'm not mistaken. He's just saying, look, it's a simple test. If I predict something and it comes to pass, I'm a true prophet. If I predict something and it doesn't come to pass, I'm a false prophet. So how does it go next with Jeremiah and Hananiah?
Well, exactly, because this is the indicator here. You can tell a prophet, because a prophet is going to speak God's word. Now, God, who is eternal and he's beyond time, when he gives the word to speak, sometimes that will have something to do with the future. So it'll be predictive prophecy, especially if it's in conjunction with the coming kingdom and the Son of David who will be born of the Virgin. That this is something that will take place in the future. And so throughout the ages since Moses put into place by God this whole tool that you would use, that the prophet would claim and say, I've got predictive prophecy, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future, and you can say, okay, fine. We shall see if it comes to pass, because if it doesn't, we know that you are not speaking the truth. And so you have Hananiah here, who is going to speak this word, and he's putting himself on the line, because he says, in 2 years this is going to happen. I mean, ironically, this is what we see with the televangelists. You know, they preach this prosperity, and they even proclaim these miracles. They set these dates that all these things are going to happen, and then yet these things happen, or I should say they don't happen because the day comes and nothing was fruition. But yet they still have followers, because the whole point is people by nature like false prophets. They like to have their ear scratched by this different alternative message. But what Jeremiah will do is he'll let Hananiah have his turn, and then in this same chapter, Yahweh gives the word back to Jeremiah, and now Jeremiah is going to proclaim a predictive prophecy that he says this: Hananiah, guess what? Yahweh just spoke, and you will die. Well, the chapter ends on the note, Hananiah dies. So by the end of the chapter, we know for sure which is the true prophet and the false prophet according to Deuteronomy.
Okay, in the meantime, after Hananiah, you know, they have this encounter. He says, Hananiah makes this prediction. Jeremiah says, oh, that sounds like great news. Let's see if it's going to happen. But by the way, the old prophets that came before us, as you said so well, you know, which were they more like, me or you? Conclusion, they were more like me. They were calling the people to repentance in the midst of their sin, to seek God's mercy, not some sort of God loves you anyway. Don't worry, God doesn't hold your sin against you kind of a thing. Hananiah responds there by breaking the yoke off of the physical yoke that Jeremiah had been wearing. And Jeremiah's response is to just leave, to do nothing. In a sense, just to kind of wait to see what God's going to do about it. What connection there do you make with Christ, where he's silent in the face of these, at least the arrogance of the false prophet?
Well, again, with this arrogance of the false prophet, is they want to be liked, and they want to preach this message of everything's going to be okay because God's a God of love. And so what happens is Jeremiah is proclaiming this war, famine, pestilence, just like the other prophets, because all of this is an indicator that they have broken covenant. Because Yahweh said, if you break covenant, all these things will happen. If you listen to me and stay in covenant, then you won't have to worry about foreign warriors and soldiers coming in. You won't have to worry about a famine. There'll be plenty of rain. You won't have to worry about pestilence. There'll be plenty of it. And so this is Jeremiah speaking this in continuity. But what you see here that's striking is Hananiah just takes matters into his own hands, and he just wants to prove that he's a true prophet, and he's just going to physically take this yoke bar and just break it in front of everybody and say, see, ha-ha, see how easy this was to break. But what is so striking is Jeremiah says nothing. He just endures. He is just patient with this false message that comes. So Jeremiah doesn't have to self-justify. He doesn't have to say, oh, no, I'm the real prophet. No, listen to me. Instead, he can calmly rest in that promise that Yahweh will be with him in this office, and that he will be there to preach building and restoration in Yahweh's time, not in his own. And so he just sits back, and he is silent. He's humble, and he goes and he suffers through this mockery. And in this, we see this image of Christ. Christ being rejected, Christ being mocked, Christ being spit upon and hit, and of course crucified, and brought before the high priest, and Christ just stands there and he is silent, because he doesn't need to self-justify. He already is who he is. And the truth is the truth. And it doesn't matter how much a false prophet jumps up and down and shows his big entertainment extravaganza, it's still not going to make it true. And so what's phenomenal here is that Jeremiah is able to just bite his tongue and not say a word, which the Holy Spirit then teaches us something just profound, that the words that Jeremiah are speaking are not Jeremiah's words. See, Jeremiah could have just spoken his own words, whatever the first thing that came to his mind was, to tell Hananiah to just go jump off of a bridge or something. But instead, Jeremiah is silent because he's going to wait, and he's going to then receive the word from Yahweh. And then when he receives that word, then he will open up his mouth, because that's what the function of a prophet is. A prophet is to speak God's word, not the word of his own heart, not the thinking of his own mind, especially in the heated moment of these emotions when Hananiah just does such an obnoxious thing by breaking this yoke bar upon his back. And so we see Christ in here, the same thing, that patience of Jesus going all the way to the cross. I mean, standing before the high priest, Jesus, who is the true high priest, is able to just sit there and let the false high priest just have his way with him.
We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament, our ongoing series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. By the way, you can find out more about Redeemer Theological Academy at IssuesETC.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in our series on Christ in the Old Testament. On this Friday afternoon, June the 27th, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're in Jeremiah chapter 28, Hananiah the false prophet. When we left off there, Jeremiah has withdrawn in silence, and then it says, and this is interesting because it really doesn't tell us how long he has to sit there in silence, how long he waits to see Hananiah's false prophecy not come, but it simply says there in verse 12, sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah. And here's what you want to focus on, I think. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Is this just a message came to Jeremiah, or is there more to it?
Yeah, it is the message, the messenger, the one who is the message incarnate. And so when we talk about the word of the Lord, the Devar Yahweh, coming to Jeremiah and speaking. And so, again, when we talk about these prophets, it's not this abstract concept that they're sitting in a corner somewhere and they feel moved, and then they go and they feel inspired to say something that's laid upon their heart. Instead, this is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Devar Yahweh. The word of the Lord comes to him, and the very word of the Lord speaks to him. And the word of the Lord is the one who sends him to go to Hananiah. Just like when the word of the Lord becomes incarnate and sends out the apostles, go into all nations and baptize them, making disciples and teaching them. And so this is the word of the Lord, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, there in the presence of Jeremiah, speaking to him, sending him back. And so, again, you have this contrast. The false prophet wants to have this prosperity and peace without the Christ. But here we have the contrast now on the other side with Jeremiah, who that peace can only come from the Christ, the second person of the Trinity who comes to bring him the peace, which we cannot have in this world, but it's the peace that he gives to us because he's the creator and he reconciles this world. And so this word of God comes to Jeremiah and sends him back, speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, if Hananiah put on this little, broke this little wooden yoke, now you're going to make this yoke out of iron. You're going to tell Hananiah, you broke the wooden yoke, and now you've made it worse, because the people keep listening to the false prophets, and so Yahweh will let them follow the message of the false prophets, and this is no longer a wooden yoke. Now it is an iron yoke.
I mean, ultimately, this is an amazing illustration. I mean, Hananiah thinks, I can break these bars. I mean, he says the Lord's going to do it, but in the end, he's the one that breaks the yoke off of Jeremiah's back. And the response that God gives him is, as you said, now you've just made it worse. Is there a principle there to be observed about all false teachers today who say, look, this isn't so bad. God isn't so hard. It's just a matter of finding the right things in your life, improve this and that in your life. And they preach a comfort before God, a peace before God that does not include the sacrifice of Christ. Are they, in fact, putting off a wooden yoke only to impose upon the people who hear them an iron yoke?
That was profound, Todd. That's great. That's exactly, I should have said that. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what's going on here, is the false prophet is speaking a message without Christ. A true prophet, he is preaching the kingdom. We preach Christ crucified. And so this all goes back to this distinction between who's a true prophet, who's a false prophet. The true prophet is going to put Christ at the center. He's the only one that's going to bring peace. But if you listen to the false prophet and you have a Christianity without Christ, well, then you're going to have a Christianity without Christ. And that's just moralism. And so there is no salvation, there is no forgiveness of sins, there is no restoration and reconciliation. I mean, when you go back with Jeremiah, all of this in his book seats in the middle there with chapter 23, where he says, I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will be called Yahweh our righteousness. And it's in that chapter 23 where he's preaching Christ, and it's that exact same chapter 23 where we also have this information that about these false prophets. So these prophets who are preaching in the name Baal, and they're preaching a different message. And the different message is one without Yahweh, our righteousness.
Finally, the false prophet is personally judged by Yahweh. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, and he speaks to Hananiah, the false prophet, the Lord has not sent you. You made the people trust a lie. You have uttered rebellion against the Lord. What's Hananiah's fate? What's his judgment?
Well, his judgment is death. He has refused to listen to Yahweh. He is now in rebellion against King, and the punishment is death. This is treason. And so he's put to death, and what happens is Jeremiah is exalted. He's vindicated because the words of Hananiah are proven to be false, and the words of Jeremiah are proven to be true. And so all of this is related to that message that Jeremiah is bringing, this message that the kingdom of God will come. But Jeremiah was sent in order to destroy and to pluck up so that he can plant and rebuild. And so he's got to bring this message of the destruction of these earthly kingdoms so he can bring the message of the coming kingdom of Christ, that this kingdom will be built by Christ, and it will be built in his crucifixion, in his death. And so all of this will point later on to chapter 30, where Jeremiah will say, the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar will be lifted. It will be broken, but it will be done in Yahweh's time. And it will be done when, guess what, the Son of David comes. So in chapter 30 of Jeremiah says, and it shall come to pass that in that day declares the Lord of hosts that I will break his neck from off your necks. I mean, I will break his yoke, that is, off of your necks, and I will burst your bonds, and foreigners shall no more make you a servant, and instead they shall serve Yahweh their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So again, the message between the difference between the message of the false prophet and the true prophet is the true prophet preaches Christ and his kingdom that comes by his crucifixion and his destruction and his resurrection. And the false prophet preaches a kingdom of peace with no king of peace.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll talk with Brian about the coming King of Zion in Zechariah chapter 9. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here, Todd.
Folks, 2 weeks ago today, we kicked off the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We had an opportunity live there at the conference to hear from Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Pastor Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Will Whedon, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. We had a worship service, we had an evening compline, and we had a hymn sing with Pastor Will Whedon and Chris Lemker. Now, if you weren't able to attend, you can still listen to more than 8 hours of great teaching by ordering a Making the Case audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. You can order online. Just click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or make a $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember to write Conference Audio DVD on the memo line of your check. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Colleen Carroll Campbell about Christianity and capitalism. We'll discuss the St. Louis City issuing same-sex marriage licenses with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morris, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the healing of Naaman the Syrian. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.